Good morning. My name is Michael Hickox. I'm an evangelist with the Olney Church of Christ. We are a group of Christians who meet here in Olney at 220 North Van Street. We meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings for Bible study, 10:20 on Sunday mornings for worship, 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoons for worship, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. We welcome visitors if you would like to join us in our assemblies as we worship God and as we study from His Word. We also offer in-home Bible studies if you would be interested in studying from the Word of God to learn more about who He is and what His will is for us. We would be happy to study with you. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is olneychurchofchrist.org. The website, again, is olneychurchofchrist.org, and the number is 217-218-0803. Talk for a few minutes here this morning about the home of the soul. The word soul is used in a few different ways in Scripture depending upon the context, but one way that that word is often used, and this is how we will be using it here this morning, is to refer to the spiritual part of us that exists in conjunction with our physical bodies. It is the part of us that is going to continue on for eternity in one place or another. And I want to consider for a few minutes this morning about the different possible destinations or homes for our soul as we see taught in Scripture. Notice as we begin looking at this, what is stated in James chapter 2. In James chapter 2 and in verse 26, I'll be reading from the World English Bible Translation here this morning. In James 2 and in verse 26, says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead." That verse teaches the emptiness of faith if it is not accompanied by works. But what I want to emphasize here this morning is something that is said in that verse in the first part of it, when it says, as the body apart from the spirit is dead. The home for our soul as we live here on earth is the physical body. Physical death occurs at the point that our body and soul separate. The body, when that happens, will go back to the dust of the earth from which it came. We see this taught in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 19. But the soul is going to continue on somewhere else. And there are two possible places that our soul might go after we die, before Christ returns. And then there are two possible places that our soul might be sent to when Christ returns to judge the world. And we'll explain what's meant by that as we go through our lesson this morning. Notice in Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, we get a picture there in verses 19 through 26 of a place that souls go to after departing the body before the day of judgment. We see here a place for departed souls awaiting Christ's return. Notice in Luke 16, beginning at verse 19. Jesus here is speaking, and he speaks about a certain rich man And he says he was clothed in purple and fine linen, living in luxury every day. A certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Yes, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The beggar died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in the same way bad things, but now here he is comforted and you are in anguish. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that those who want to pass from here to you are not able, and that no one may cross over from there to us. So notice what is taught here in this passage. Jesus speaks about two individuals who lived on earth at the same time. He says there was a rich man, rich during his life on earth, and then there was a man named Lazarus. And Lazarus was a beggar. It appears he was poor. He was a man who would have been looked at as a failure perhaps by some as he lived here on earth, while the rich man was very successful from an earthly standpoint. But after they died, they went to a place that in verse 23 is called Hades. And you see that word Hades used a few times throughout the New Testament. It's a word that refers to a waiting place for departed souls as they await the day of judgment. And within this place called Hades, there is a place of torment, and that's where this rich man ended up. It's described as a place of torment in verse 23. And then there is a place of comfort, as we see mentioned in verse 25. This is where Lazarus ended up. Lazarus was comforted in Abraham's bosom. This is also a place sometimes called paradise because of the word that Jesus used in Luke 23:43. But there's also a place in Hades called torment, and we see that the rich man ended up there. And we'll come back to this passage later on in the lesson to notice some things we can learn from this passage. But notice as we begin thinking about the home of the soul, that if we die before Christ returns, our souls will go to a place called Hades and will either be comforted like Lazarus was or be tormented like this rich man was. Whether we are comforted or tormented is contingent upon whether or not we live righteous lives as we are here on this earth. But this place called Hades that the rich man and Lazarus were in, this is not a place that is intended to be the eternal home of the soul. It is a place like our physical bodies that is a temporary dwelling place for the soul. But there will come a day when all those souls that are in Hades will be brought forth, and all those who are on the earth will be brought forth to be judged by Christ, and Christ will then send us to our eternal destination. Notice in John chapter 5, in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus there said, "Don't marvel at this, for the hour comes in which all that are in the tombs," that is those who have died and their physical bodies have been buried, but their souls have gone to Hades, he says, "they will hear his voice and will come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." Jesus here makes it clear that Hades is not the final stop, if you will. Hades is a temporary dwelling place, but on this day of judgment, this day that Jesus describes in these two verses, all those who are in Hades will be brought before the great judge, Jesus Christ, and will then be sent to their eternal destinations. And all those who are here on earth at the time that Christ returns will likewise be brought forth to stand before Christ and will be sent to their eternal destination. And so every single person who has ever lived here on this earth is going to be sent to their eternal destination at the point that Christ returns to judge the world. And there are two possibilities for where this eternal destination will be that are brought out in Scripture. Notice what Jesus says about this in Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 46. In Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 46, Jesus there says, "These," and he's speaking about the unrighteous, "these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So there are two possibilities for the eternal home of our soul. Eternal punishment, that's what the unrighteous will face, or eternal life, that's what will be granted to those who Jesus says are righteous. Notice up in verse 41 what else is said about the place that those who are unrighteous will be sent to. Verse 41 there of Matthew chapter 25, it says, "Then he will say also to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Now think about these terms that are used to describe hell. He says, eternal punishment in verse 46, eternal fire in verse 41. This is a place that is described in the most horrifying terms. Nothing good is said in Scripture about hell. It's a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place where we will be separated from God for eternity if we end up there. But it's a real place that God really will send us to if we are unrighteous during our time here on this earth. And if we end up being sent to hell, it's not a place where we will just face some temporary torment and then just cease to exist. It is a place where we will be tormented night and day forever. Notice what is said by Jesus in Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9 and in verse 44. In Mark 9 and verse 44, Jesus talking about hell here says it's a place where their worm doesn't die and the fire is not quenched. That means the pain will last forever. The torment will be eternal. That's what hell will be like according to Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke a lot about hell during his time here on earth. In fact, there are 12 verses in the New Testament in which the Greek word Gehenna appears. That's the Greek word for hell. 11 of the 12 times that word is used, it's used by Jesus Christ. We might think that that seems harsh. We might wonder how a loving Savior could speak so much about a place of torment. But he doesn't speak about it because he hates us. He speaks about it because he loves us. And he doesn't want us to go there. He doesn't want us to spend eternity in hell. So he warns about this place to get us and encourage us to live righteous lives as we are here on this earth. And he promises if we do live righteous lives as we are here on this earth, that we can spend eternity in heaven with him rather than spending eternity in hell. So now notice a few verses that talk about heaven. Just as hell is a real place where God really will send people to, heaven is likewise a real place where God really will send people to. Notice some things said about it. First of all, in Luke 24 and verse 51. Luke chapter 24 and in verse 51. This verse here talks about Jesus' ascension. It says, while he blessed them, and the he there is Christ, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. So notice what we can conclude based upon that verse. Number one, heaven is a real place. Number two, heaven is a place that Jesus ascended back to. And we know that God the Father is there as well. It's God's dwelling place. And number three, heaven is not a place here on earth. This says Jesus was carried up into heaven. Just as hell is not a place here on earth, nothing here on earth can compare with the torment that we will face if we spend eternity in hell. But nothing here on earth can compare with the comfort that we will have if we spend eternity in heaven. Heaven is not a place here on earth. It is a place that the righteous will be able to go to be in God's presence for eternity when Christ comes to judge the world. Heaven is a place where there will be no more pain, no more death, no more suffering, but rather we will be comforted forever if we are able to go there. But notice something else that Jesus said about heaven in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 21, there Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Notice what Jesus says here in this verse. Number one, he says not everybody is going to go to heaven. And the only alternative to spending eternity in heaven is spending eternity in hell. So Jesus makes it clear that some people are going to be told, depart from me, you who work iniquity, as is stated there in verse 23 of Matthew 7. But notice also some of those who end up being sent to hell are people who will, Jesus says, say to me, Lord, Lord. That means they are people who claim to follow him, and yet they're still not going to be able to enter heaven. Notice the contrast between two words there in Matthew 7:21. Notice the word says and the word does. It's not just those who talk the talk, as we would say, who will be able to go to heaven. It's not just those who say, well, I've belonged to a religious group for a long time, and here's my big long list of accomplishments. It's not just those who talk the talk, Jesus says, who will be able to enter heaven. Rather, he says, it is those who do the will of my Father which is in heaven. If we aren't doing what God tells us in his word is his will for us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says we won't go to heaven. And the only alternative to going to heaven is going to hell. We must do the will of our Father which is in heaven to be able to make it to heaven for eternity. So as we tie all of this together and try to consider some lessons now that we can learn from this. want to consider, first of all, when we think about our different homes for the soul, when we think about our physical bodies being our current home of the soul, when we think about the two possible homes for the soul if we die before the day of judgment, and when we think about the two possible eternal homes of the soul, the two possible places we might be sent when Christ returns to judge us. When we consider all of this, there's some important lessons to learn that directly affect how we live our lives. Number one, consider that our time here on earth is not by any means all there is to it. It is by no means all there is to our existence. In fact, our time here on this earth is very brief relative to eternity. Notice what the inspired writer says in James chapter 4. In James chapter 4 and in verse 14. James 4 and verse 14, it says there, "Whereas you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow, for what is your life? For you are a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." When we reach our eternal destination and we look back at our time here on earth, we will realize our time here on earth was very brief. It was like just a vapor that appeared for a short time and then vanished away. That doesn't mean that our time here on earth is not significant, but it means there's more that we need to be preparing for than just the here and now. When we look towards the future, we should see beyond just our future lives here on earth. When we're preparing for the future, we should prepare for more than just our future lives here on earth. There's a lot more to our existence than just our times here on earth. There is an eternal destination that we will be sent to. And what will determine where we are sent for eternity is how we live as we are here on this earth. And so something else that we can learn as we think about the different homes of the soul is to consider what is really valuable as we live here on earth. What is really the most significant things in each of our lives as we are living here on this earth? And to consider this, I want to turn back to Luke 16 and notice a specific verse there that we read earlier on when Abraham was talking to the rich man. In Luke 16 and verse 25, the rich man there had asked Abraham in verse 24 if he would send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. And notice what Abraham's response was to the rich man in verse 25. It says, "But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in the same way bad things, but now here he is comforted and you are in anguish.'" Think about the comparative values there. Abraham tells this rich man, while you were on earth, you were very wealthy. You were very successful. You had good things from an earthly perspective. Lazarus, on the other hand, he received bad things. His life on earth was not that great at all. But now, he is comforted and you are tormented. What was really significant in the life of this rich man and Lazarus? What was really significant was not about how much riches they acquired, how highly they were esteemed in the eyes of the world. What was really significant is whether or not they were pleasing God. And because the rich man was not, he ended up in torment. Because Lazarus was, he ended up being comforted. Now this, as we noted earlier, is not talking about heaven and hell. It's talking about a temporary dwelling place called Hades, where there's a place of torment and a place of comfort. But the principle is brought out here, just how significant it is for us to prepare as we're here on earth for what comes after our lives on earth. And notice along those lines what is said in verse 26 there of Luke 16. Luke 16 and verse 26, Abraham tells the rich man, "Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that those who want to pass from here to you are not able, and that no one may cross over from there to us." What does that verse tell us? I believe it tells us that our time to prepare for what comes after life here on earth is now. When our lives here on earth end, or when Jesus returns to judge the world, whichever of those two things happens first, when that time comes, our fate will be sealed. We will no longer have the opportunity to make our lives right with God. So the time for us to make our lives right with God is right now as we are here on this earth. And notice what Jesus said in Matthew 24, down in Matthew 24 and in verse 36, when he said, "But no one knows of that day and hour, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Many individuals have tried to predict when Christ's second coming will be. But Jesus tells us only God knows that answer. We just don't know when Christ is going to return. And so what he then says down in verse 42 is, "Watch therefore, for you don't know in what hour your Lord comes." He will come as a thief in the night, we see in 2 Peter 3:10, meaning he will come at a time that we cannot predict. We can't pinpoint just exactly when that moment will be. Instead, we have to be ready each day of our lives for Christ to return. And that's the basic lesson that we can learn from thinking about the different homes for the soul, is to recognize time here on earth is very brief. There's going to come a point in time when we leave this earth, when our souls depart from our bodies, and we've got to be prepared at every moment for that time to come. If you have any questions about anything that was stated this morning, or if you'd like to study more and find out what God's will is for us to be prepared for when our time on earth ends, we would love to study with you. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. Our website is allneechurchofchrist.org. We will conclude our 30-minute lesson here this morning with a hymn from the Favorite Hymns Quartet. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.